لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك، سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أدل أو أضل أو أزل أو زل أو أظلم أو أظلم أو أجهل أو يجهل علي. اللهم بارك وارحم وعفو عن جميع مشايخنا ومدرسينا معلمينا وأساتذتنا وكل من علمنا ودرسنا وهذبنا وسلكنا وربانا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. You know, there's a lot of talk, as the session title indicates, about Islamophobia, hate crimes against Muslims, etc. And hate crimes in this country aren't isolated to Muslims. There are far, far more hate crimes visited upon African Americans, visited upon Jewish Americans. Even more Sikhs have been killed since 9/11 than Muslims. Even the Sikh temple in Milwaukee, I think it was, you're more familiar than I am, that was shot up, 6 or 7 people killed. So hate crimes are not isolated to Muslims. We should always remember that, so that we understand we're all in this together. We're all in this together. Be that as it may, the reality of prejudice in Muslims, discrimination in the job place, hiring discrimination against sisters who might wear hijab, etc. These things are real, and we pray to Allah for relief. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْعِلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. We ask Allah for relief. We rely on Allah, that Allah will sustain us and suffice us in this climate. But one thing, brothers and sisters, especially our young people, one thing you should know, we should not care at the end of the day what Tom, Dick, and Harry thinks about us. We should be concerned about where we stand with Allah. Where we stand with Allah. Because if we stand, if we're right with Allah, we will be right with Tom, Dick, and Harry, Sally, Jane, and Mary. Because Allah tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمَ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. That those who believe and do righteous deeds, the merciful will make love in the hearts of the people for them. If Allah loves the servant, he informs the angels and he tells the angels that I love so-and-so, and go to the people of the earth and tell the people of the earth that I love so-and-so, and you love them, and their hearts will be filled with love. So it doesn't start with a PR campaign. It doesn't start with some grand strategy. Those things are important, but it starts with our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we're right with Allah, we'll be right with the people. And this is a manifestation of Allah's mercy. Allah ta'ala, His mercy extends over everything. His mercy extends over everything. And so again, we have to make sure that سَيَجْعَلُوا لَهُمَ الرَّحْمَنِ. So Allah in that verse, He doesn't say, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ سَيَجْعَلُ الرَّحْمَنُ لَهُمُ الْوُدَّةِ. So brothers and sisters, it's important for us to be merciful. أَرَّحِمُونَ يَرْحَمْهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ. The merciful people, the all-merciful will show mercy to them. And so, سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Again, this is associated with our mercy. أَرَّحِمُونَ يَرْحَمُهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ. So brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter if some think tank in Washington, D.C. that's making a lot of money demonizing Muslims. If you're merciful to your neighbor, if you're merciful to your coworker, if you're merciful to your fellow students on your campus, if you're merciful to the people you interacted with at your place of employment, then Allah will make mercy. His mercy will extend to you, and the hearts of the people will turn to us as a community in mercy. And we have to believe that. Now, saying that doesn't mean that we're not going to have tests. It's very important for us to emphasize to our young people, because one of the problems in general in our country has been overprotective parenting. Overprotective parenting, where we try to shelter our young people from the realities of the world. And so in many instances, they grow up thinking everything is peaches and cream, everything is good ship lollipop. And then when some difficulty comes, they might not be psychologically prepared for it. No, this world is a place of trial and tribulation. This world is a place of tests. Allah Ta'ala reminds us constantly in the Quran, Tabaraka alladhi bi yadihi al-mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir alladhi khalaqa al-mauta wal-hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala. The one who has created death and life in order to test you, which of you are best indeed. Alif lam mim. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. Do people think they'll be left alone merely saying we believe, we're Muslim, it's all good, mashallah, I believe, and not be tested? And we tested those who preceded them. Our Prophet was tested, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The early Muslims were tested. Muslims in the face of the Mongol hordes were tested. Muslims in the face of the Crusades were tested. Muslims in the face of European colonization and imperialism were tested. This is the way of the world. Allah says He's going to test us as He tested those who preceded us. And believe me, our test is light. Our test is light. We have Islamophobia in this country. If you're in Gaza, every few years you have bombs raining down on your head. And between those interims, all sorts of lesser forms of abuse, both physical and psychological. If you're in Yemen right now, you have bombs and missiles raining down on your head. You have faced the threat of starvation and cholera for young people and malnutrition. What is our test compared to their test? So we shouldn't be people who despair. We should be people of shukr. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Yes, there's difficulty, there's tension, there's discrimination. But what does it compare to people in Palestine? What does it compare to people in Yemen? What does it compare to people in Myanmar or who in Bangladesh now? With very little to live on. What does it compare to people in Afghanistan? Two generations almost of continuous warfare. What does it compare to people in Somalia who try to rebuild their country and then there's another scheme imposed upon them to rip their social fabric apart for now over 30 years now? What do our tests compare to the tests of those who we are brothers and sisters of in this ummah? We should be in a state of gratitude, brothers and sisters, because only then will we be able to come together as a unified, inspired, visionary community to do something meaningful for all of those Muslims suffering in other places. This is our challenge. Then shakartum lazidannakum. If you give thanks, I will increase you. And that increase will be our ability to assist our brothers and sisters in meaningful ways. That's the way of the world. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَالنَّقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Surely, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. This is a beautiful verse because it explains our reality. Allah says, we're going to test you with something of fear. So we're afraid a little bit, but we're not too afraid to gather in this conference in peace and brotherhood and sisterhood. Our sisters aren't too afraid to go about their business wearing hijab and jilbab and in safety and security by and large. We're not too afraid to organize our students, to organize Muslim student association chapters all over this country. Why? Because the fear is not going to be overwhelming. For Allah says, بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ and hunger. And some Muslims are challenged with hunger, like in Yemen right now. But most of the members of this ummah are well fed. We're well fed, and then we feed the world. The world is eating our food. You go to London and you have shawarma over here, and you have chicken tikka masala over there, and you have baba ghanoush over there, and you have mensef and maqlooba over there, and you have samosas over there, and you have adana kebab over there. And the Muslims are eating those foods. You go to the Muslims' land. So, بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ نَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. So, whatever challenge you have, brothers and sisters, in addition to being thankful for the blessings, as we mentioned, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, patiently persevere during the trials. Don't lose your dignity. Don't hang your head. Pick your head up. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is better in speech than one calling to Allah? Call people to Allah. People are suffering. Our country is suffering from what are called the diseases of despair. What are the diseases of despair? Suicide. 123 suicides every day somewhere in this country. And how many suicide attempts every day? 4,000 suicide attempts every day somewhere in this country. That's despair. A massive crisis of opioid abuse. That's despair. Alcoholism. That's despair. The Muslim is the one who's supposed to offer people a way out. But if we're so ashamed of our religion because some people are saying we're so terrible, if we're afraid to reach out to people because we think, who wants to listen to us? They just think we're a bunch of terrorists. It doesn't matter what they think. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? We can't allow ourselves to internalize that negativity. We can't allow ourselves to internalize those lies. We can't allow it, brothers and sisters, because if we internalize that negativity, we can't bring this positive message to people. During the past 6 days, myself, I gave 3 shahadas over the past 3 days, 6 days rather. And my understanding is someone who wants to take shahada right now is going to come to the stage when I'm done and take the shahada. Like, and myself, I'm a convert. I converted to Islam. I wasn't born into a Muslim family. And I know that this religion, which saved my life, can save the life of a whole lot of other people out there. But they're waiting for us to come to them and invite them into the house of Islam. Invite them into the family of Islam. Invite them into the love and the warmth that you're experiencing in this conference today. As you go through the halls, the peace and the serenity, the brotherhood, the sisterhood. People are dying for that, brothers and sisters. And we are the life rope. We are the life rope. We have to throw it out there because they're waiting. May Allah give us tawfiq in that regard. Don't be surprised though by tests. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, he was asked, عن سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنه أنه قال قلت يا رسول الله أي الناس أشد بلاء فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم الأنبياء ف ثم الأمثل فالأمثال. He was asked by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, who are the most intensely tested of the people? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the prophets, and then those closest to them in faith, those closest to them in faith. People are tested according to their faith. So if you're being tested, say Alhamdulillah. Perhaps Allah, perhaps this test is because of my faith. Don't run away from the test. Embrace the test with patience. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ إِذَا صَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ وَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. Shukr and sabr, these go together. Thankfulness and patience, because that's the life of this world, are good times, easy times, times to be thankful, shukr, and tests and tribulations, time to be patient, sabr. So when the ulama discuss these, Ibn Qayyim Jawziyah, he has a book, it's not called Kitab al-Sabr, nor Kitab al-Shukr. Kitab al-Shukr was sabr. Imam Ghazali in the Ihya, he doesn't have Kitab al-Sabr. Kitab al-Shukr was sabr. They go together because they are an expression of how a believer moves through this life, moves through the peaks and the valleys, the peaks and the valleys. May Allah give us tawfiq in that regard. In my few last waning moments, brothers and sisters, let me share something with you. We have to be positive, we have to be strong, we have to forge on despite the obstacles, and we have to firmly believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. When times are hard for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did Allah console him? وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَالَ. Your Lord has not abandoned or forsaken you. Your Lord has not abandoned nor forsaken you. Allah is with us. Allah is with us. He's with us in the good times and He's with us in the bad times. So we have to forge on, and we have to understand we have work to do. We don't have time to listen to nonsense that we know is nonsense. We're gathered here in peace and tranquility. We're gathered in this conference hall. Not a single fight. And you know why there's not a single fight? Because we're Muslim brothers and sisters, but even brothers and sisters, you know, there's not a single fight because there's not a single drop of alcohol being consumed. That's my community. That's my community. There's not a single drop of alcohol being consumed. That's who we are as a community. And so, brothers and sisters, we have serious work. I believe that amongst the work that only we as Muslims can do, joining with others, but we bring a communal element, and we bring a spirit, and we bring a brotherhood and sisterhood that transcends race. It transcends gender. It transcends it transcends age. We bring a communal spirit that brings us the power necessary to do two things. We are in an age that's called the Anthropocene, the age of the humans. And one reason this is called the age of the humans as opposed to the Holocene, the geological period that preceded it, is because human beings now have the ability to destroy this earth. We have the ability to destroy this earth. Two things, through war and weapons of mass destruction culminating with nuclear weapons, and through destroying the natural environment that sustains our life. Brothers and sisters, we have to be about the work of ending the scourge of war, ending the scourge of war that says in this modern world, so it's one thing if we have bows and arrows, it's one thing if we're throwing spears at each other, but when we can drop barrel bombs from the sky, as happened in Homs and Halab and the suburbs of Damascus, and destroy entire neighborhoods of innocent civilians, we have to say war is wrong and we're going to stop it. They say you want to understand war. One of the great popular poets of our society, the late Gil Scott Heron, he said, just ask them, when you ask them what they're fighting for, they'll never mention the economics of war. When you ask them what they're fighting for, they'll never mention the economics of war. Thank Donald Trump for one thing. Thank him for one thing. Thank him for being honest and open with the Muslims. Like he said, we're gonna have a Muslim ban. He's out front. And so you can organize against it. He's not saying we love Muslims, and then on the side, he's being the bomber in chief like Obama. Obama killed Anwar Awlaki, an American citizen with no trial, extrajudicial murder. Obama killed Anwar Awlaki. Okay, he said Anwar Jihad. Okay, mashallah. What about his 16-year-old son, Abdurrahman, who did nothing to no one? Why was he extrajudicially killed? What about 16-year-old Tariq Aziz in Waziristan, who was organizing his community to oppose the drones constantly buzzing above their head and was killed, an innocent 16-year-old boy? That was Obama. That wasn't Trump. Trump is out in the open. I don't like you, and I'm not faking it. And Trump was honest when he said the economics of war. We're selling weapons to the Saudis to bomb the Yemenis because it means American jobs. Honest and straight up. So we should say, if it means American jobs, I'll eat grass. I'll eat grass. I'll be unemployed. I'll live in a tent before I work in a job making a bomb to kill innocent children halfway around the world so I can have a job. To hell with your job. That's the spirit we have to have, because there are powerful forces aligned against us, and us meaning innocent humanity. And so we have to push back with power. To hell with your job. To hell with your bombs. To hell with your bombers and your fighter jets and your nuclear submarines. Take it to hell with you, because if you don't repent, that's where you're going. And don't think it's impossible, and that we have to bring that same spirit to working for clean energy. The dirtiest energy now, the dirtiest oil, shale oil and tar sands, that if we exploit it all, it will destroy our environment. We have to be committed to these causes, brothers and sisters, if we're committed to the future of our children. And people say it's impossible, it's so big, industrial complex. Let me remind you in conclusion. In the latter half of the 19th century, the 18th century, 1700s, slavery was the most profitable enterprise in the British Empire. And the crops that were being cultivated in the British colonies, in America, king cotton, and in the Caribbean, white gold, sugar. And slaves were being brutalized. If someone said, and that money was going to the king and the queen, that money was going to Oxford, that money was going to Cambridge, that money was going to powerful institutions. And if someone said, within 50 years, there will be no more slavery in the British Empire, they would have said, impossible. That can't be done. Impossible. But there was a young man. So people were working at it. There was a young man named Thomas Clarkston. You can read about this in a book by a University of California historian, Adam Hochschild, Bury the Chains. bury the chains. A young man, a student named Thomas Clarkston, wrote an essay in Latin. He entered an essay contest, and his essay was on slavery in the British Empire and the brutality of slavery. And as he started to do his research, he became more and more outraged by those brutalities. And he committed himself. So he wrote his essay in Latin. He became an activist working for the abolition of slavery. Young man, college age. And he translated, he had his essay translated into English. And it became the foundation of creating the consciousness that would translate within his lifetime into the abolishment of slavery in the British Empire. So don't say it's impossible. We need our Muslim Thomas Clarkstons, Aisha and Ahmed, Mustafa, Fatima, etc., to become passionately committed to the future of this world, passionately committed to the end of the destruction of our Muslim people, passionately committed to the dismantling of the military-industrial complex. And if we believe it, and then we dedicate our lives to it, we can do it. It is not impossible, because nothing is impossible with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we commit ourselves to clean energy, then I'm not going to drive a gas guzzler. I'm not going to be deceived. Now, I know if you're from wherever, Karachi, or you're from Khalil, or you're from Cairo, you're not driving some big monster SUV that you drive in America because you have three babies. We have three babies. It's time to get an SUV. You're driving a Toyota Corolla. You're driving a Fiat. And you're cramming your whole family into that Fiat. If we could do it in Karachi and Cairo, and we can do it in Baghdad, and we can do it in Tunis, why can't we do it in America for the sake of this planet and the future of our children? We have to stop deluding ourselves that we have to engage in all of these destructive practices, because that's what people do when they're of my socioeconomic status. Your socioeconomic status doesn't mean anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if it's not representative of the values of this religion and mercy to our future generation. Laysa minna man lam yarham saghirana. He is not amongst us, she is not amongst us who doesn't have mercy for our young. Let's be merciful, let's get to work. Let us ignore all this nonsense about Islamophobia, pick our heads up, and get busy. Assalamu alaikum.